Hey kids, KJ here, inviting you to pre-order In Her Boots, wherever you like to do that sort of thing. So my latest book, In Her Boots, is about the adult we know we are, the kid our mothers will always see, and our terrible fear that our mothers are right. But it's also about an accidental literary hoax, a family farm, and BFFs who will do anything to help each other show the world who they really are. So, if it sounds like you'll like it, you probably will. And if it's not for you, maybe it's for your mom, your sister, or your BFF. And books make great hostess gifts. Pre-orders tell booksellers that this is a book readers will want and encourage them to keep it on their shelves. So as a bonus, if you pre-order, I will happily send you a signed book plate and an adorable cowboy boot sticker to show off your city girl in the country vibe, or vice versa. So head to kjdelantonia.com for all the details. Thanks! Hey kids, welcome to episode 1 of the Hashtag AmWriting Blueprint Challenge. As always, Hashtag AmWriting is the weekly podcast for fun, fresh, actionable writing advice for writers in all genres, fiction of every kind imaginable, nonfiction, memoir. We are here to help you get inspired and get the work done. I'm KJ Delantonia. I'm the author of The Chicken Sisters, as well as a novel coming out this summer, In Her Boots. That's going to be out the summer of 2022. And I'm also the former editor and lead writer of The Motherlode at the New York Times, and the author of the nonfiction book, How to Be a Happier Parent, which I don't have anywhere behind me. Oh, well.
I feel like the longer we sit here, the more things you'll say about what you are. So I was pausing to see what else you might say.
What else I would come up with as my dog wandered behind us, too. So.
And hi, I'm Jenny Nash. I'm the CEO and founder of Author Accelerator and creator of the Blueprint Framework for Writing Better Books.
So, my usual co-hosts, Jess and Serena, will pop in from time to time. But for this 10-episode series, it's going to be me and Jenny and a series of book coaches focusing in on books, specifically creating a blueprint that will help you take a book idea from giant amorphous blob to solid plan. Whether you are at the inspiration stage, or have a few chapters written, or you're sitting on a big chunk of draft that just isn't coming together, not that any of us have ever been there, this series will help you get things in shape and make taking your ideas to the next stage easier. But if a book isn't in your plans, keep listening. We're going to have a great time talking about what goes into creating a strong structure that makes a book work, which will make reading even more interesting and might spark some ideas that could lead you to a book down the road. So today, episode 1, we're going to talk about finding your why. Every book, from Eat, Pray, Love to Where the Crawdads Sing to Leave Your Troubles Behind, How to De-Stress and Grow Happiness Through Plants, has a reason to exist, a reason the writer wanted to write it, and something, it's that reason, that why, that pulls the reader in. But first, before we get started on why, just a quick reminder or thought. This 10-episode series comes with a challenge. So you can sign up at authoraccelerator.com/AmWritingBlueprintChallenge. Link is in the show notes, and if you're watching on YouTube, it's in the notes below the video. You listen to every episode and complete the weekly assignment, and by the end of the series, you will have a blueprint for your book, which is reward in itself. And you can enter a drawing to have me or Jenny offer a critique on your blueprint and join you for a 50-minute phone call to discuss the work. Or you can use this to commit yourself to complete and get an incredible bargain on a critique and phone call with an Author Accelerator book coach. So all the details for that are at authoraccelerator.com/AmWritingBlueprintChallenge. Okay, now we get to talk about why. Why? Look, there are lots of books in the world. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see about 700 of them behind me. Why another one? This is a question you must ask yourself.
In fact, it's the first question you must ask yourself. It's the first question in all the blueprints, no matter what genre you're writing. You have to know why you're doing this. Because if you don't know your why, you're just going to go off the rails in so many ways.
I feel like that is a really intimidating. I mean, if you're a nonfiction writer or a memoir writer, that feels a little easier to answer. You know, why is often because I want to tell this story or because I love houseplants and I really want to share that love with other people. Or, you know, because I need to, you know, I went through this thing and I want to help others. But when you're writing fiction, why is kind of a terrifying question because you're like, I don't know, because I just really love mysteries that take place in bakeries owned by witches and I want to write another one. And trust me, that's a genre. And I do love it. So, you know, but there's still a why, right?
Absolutely. So that, I mean, that's what's so interesting because that's a story that you're drawn to that somebody else is not drawn to. Somebody else is drawn to some other thing. It, you know, what's so fascinating about ideas is whose brain do they stick in? Whose brain do they develop in? Whose experiences and history and thoughts and all the things come together to make this idea and that person at this moment the thing? And knowing, trying to get at that, like, what is underneath that story that draws you to it? What about it is interesting? Why would you spend? I mean, you know how long you have to spend with a story to bring it to life, how many times you have to go over it and read it and talk about it, right? Why do you want to spend all the time on that story? And digging down into that question and that answer is, there's always something resonant underneath it.
So, I mean, what are some of the whys that, I'm focused on fiction because I'm writing fiction right now, but we're going to talk about whys in all the genres, but when it comes to fiction, I feel like people can freak out over why, because it's like, well, now you're like telling me I need to have a theme, and suddenly this is English class, and I don't want to write a book for people to read in English class, I want to write a book for people to read on airplanes. Do I really need a why for that? But I mean, you know, and I know the answer. The answer is, yeah, you better have a why because otherwise it just doesn't resonate.
Right. So I like to think of the why as the most personal question that anybody's ever going to ask you about your book. It's very personal. It doesn't have to do with, it's like, why do you care? What about this thing matters to you? And usually at the end of the day, the why gets down to something that has to do with something you're mad about or something that you wish were a different way in the world. So maybe there's a social justice component, or something that has to do with claiming space in the world or claiming your voice. The why is usually, When I'm coaching someone on the why, the assignment is write a page on why you want to write this book. Sounds like the easiest thing in the world. But I will send people back to do it again. And I will say, this is just blah, blah, blah. Like, tell me something real. Tell me something raw. Tell me something that hurts, right? And they always inevitably come back with something that literally takes my breath away, makes me cry. If you push yourself far enough, it doesn't matter if we're writing a story about witches in a bakery or dragons for middle graders, or it doesn't matter what you're writing. There's something connecting you that's deep and resonant and real. And if you can start by tapping into that. So here's the thing. If you don't do that, usually what happens is you write your way to it. And writing your way to it means I spend a year writing a draft that's kind of sort of about something and kind of sort of deep and resonant, but not really. And then I spend another year revising it and getting a little better. And then maybe I spend another year revising it. And oh, by the way, my structure's still a mess, but I finally know my why. Like, you can write your way to it. It's just the most wildly inefficient process imaginable. So if you push yourself to really tap in before you start to write, it is it's a massive time saver, but it's also just, it's just the way to, I mean, what we're really talking about is what books do, what books are, and they convey deep emotion to other people. That's what they do. And no matter what they are, that's what they do. And you've got to tap into that in order to hand it over to somebody to make that transaction possible.
So I feel like the why, so why is for you as a writer, but why is often what reaches a reader. You know, I love to listen to readers talk about books. And it's something that I do that is I listen to a couple of podcasts where all they are is book recommendations. One's called All the Books, and they're both from Book Riot. And it'll either be the books that are new that we're recommending or books that we recommend because you like certain things. And when they talk about a book, this is why I listen, they have like one sentence to describe why they like this book. And it can be anything, you know, the recommendations are all over the map, nonfiction, fiction, memoir, you know, something that I would read to travel in this different place. But they have like two sentences. So the first sentence is always, you know, this is a book about zombies beating on a dome to get in to a city that's been, you know, encapsulated in glass. I don't know. But the second sentence is always, and then, you know, there's a person who can't, if it were easy to think of this on the fly, it would be easier to do them. But you know, then there's a person trying to prove that women are just as strong in the dome as men. So the first sentence is always the plot, because we love some plot. And the second sentence is often the why, and it's fascinating.
There's a podcast whose name I do not know, that I isn't that a great recommendation, that I listened to and I thought, this is the dream. And it's a podcast where somebody summarizes in 15 minutes a popular nonfiction book, a lot of business focused books, and I was like, this is the dream. I'll plow through a bunch of books and I'll get the thing. And it's just fascinating because it's like there's no life in that, those descriptions. They're just sort of reciting, you know, the equivalent of plot on fiction. It's just, this is what it's about. And they all sound the same. It's like, this is a leadership, a book about, you know, how you have to be human with your team or, you know, whatever. And you're just like, why would I even care? Why would I read that book? There's no, it's like they've taken the lemon and squeezed all the juice out of it. And then you go and you read that actual book, and you can feel the electricity of the author and their, you know, that's why we read. That's why it's not just, don't just mainstream the information into my head or whatever that, you know, like you want the experience of the feeling, being in it with the writer, being in their voice and their passion and their way of thinking. And that's the unique power of a book, and it's different from other things.
So in nonfiction, I think it's very easy to say, well, obviously, you know, the leave your troubles behind, how to de-stress and grow happiness through plants. Well, obviously the why to write that is to help people grow healthier plants. But I'm going to bet that is not the why that you get when you read that book. And I happen to know that that's a real book that you help work on because it's in the blueprint for a book, nonfiction book. So what was her why for that one?
Right.
I'm assuming it was a woman.
Yeah, Karen Hugg is her name. And right, you hear that book and you're like, a whole book about houseplants? Okay. But of course, it's this powerful, beautiful book about connection to nature, and that it's not just reserved for people who can go out on an adventure in nature. They can be for somebody who's in a city apartment, and the huge benefits, the mental benefits of caring for a plant and learning about its what it needs and having that in your space. It's this, she has this very powerful philosophy. And then of course, so there's two layers, right? So what's her why? Well, that's her why. And then, but why? Why do you care? And then you're going to get down to this very deep level thing about, I mean, you know, this woman's mental health and this woman's place on the planet. And why she cares about a plant is because a plant saved her, right? So that's her why. And I just, last night I started reading at the recommendation of my adult daughter, Know My Name, the memoir by Chanel Miller. And the, I mean, oh my gosh, right? Like the why for this book is so powerful and so deep and so resonant, and it would be easy to whip off why that person wanted to write that book, but she lays it out right in the beginning of the pages. It's the title of the book. It's the cover of the book, which is a, I don't know the name of the art. I believe it's Japanese art where you put pottery back together with gold.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I think there's
I forgot. There is a word for that, but I too have forgotten it. But yeah, the idea being that the things that are broken are stronger in the mending.
That's right.
And let's say some people probably don't know My Name. That's the story of what had been the anonymous victim of a really high profile rape case saying, I don't want to be anonymous anymore.
Right.
And part of that, and that seems like, oh, well, okay, that's her why. She doesn't want to be anonymous anymore. But there's, I mean, it's not just that, right?
Well, that's the first level. Then the second level down, which is what she opens with, is you can tell this is going, I've only read 7 pages and I'm already like, I'm resentful that I'm having to sit here and talk to you because all I want to do is go finish reading the book. It's that riveting after 7 pages. And I can tell that it's going to be a book about language, about words, about using our name, calling, what does it mean to say you're a victim? What does it mean to say you're somebody's victim? What does it mean to call someone a rapist? There's different, she goes over this right in the beginning, different definitions in different jurisdictions. So it's about the importance of precision of language. And she's writing a book about it. Like those are choices that she's making, right? It's a book, it's language, the title of it, all the thing you can feel as a reader, it's like you're really tapping into some kind of electricity that's life itself. And it, what's so particularly with memoir, which this book is, it's really easy to write a bad memoir. It's really easy. It's
yes.
Right. It's like, this is the thing that happened to me. And you know why it mattered to you but you haven't done the work to put it on the page. And a really good memoir, they've done the work to put it on the page, to make room for you as a reader.
The reader.
I have not suffered any of the things that this author suffered. And I, yet my stomach hurt. I had to close the book and do some writing about places in my own life where I have been afraid. Like it just pulls up from you a connection to the thing. It's not just about the thing itself. It's about her really deep why. And that's, you can't fake it. And you can write your way to it. I know that it's possible to write your way to it. It just takes so long.
Well, and the truth is you're going to write your way to it anyway.
Yeah.
So this is going to help to do the exercise of why, and then the secondary exercise of yes, but really why is not going to get you all the way to why. I am 100% certain that that author did not know that she was going to explore, you know, the depths of the meaning of the name and the identification and the possessives and the grammar of her experience. Even if she, you know, sat down and said, why am I going to put my name out there? Why am I going to do this? She didn't know probably that stuff, but she was closer.
Right.
You know,
that's really well said.
Closer is huge.
Yes. It's really, really well said. You're at least on the target, if not in the bullseye. And
well, you know, the truth about all these exercises is that you go back to them, either physically and actually you sit back down. If you're me as a writer, you physically actually sit back down and go back to them mid-book and, you know, fourth draft of book, and you do them again and they change. But to have done them is easily a saving of, you know, I don't know. I don't know how many drafts, but so they change, they evolve, but you need to do the hard work first to get yourself more along the chain, more along the road to where you're going to be.
It's really true. I've just completed writing Blueprint for a nonfiction book, and you would think this is material I know inside out. You would think that I knew my why. You would think that I had that all dialed in. You would think all those things. And I didn't. And I was working with a book coach, with one of our Author Accelerator book coaches, whom I hired to help me. And thankfully, she's very well trained by me and my
partner. Imagine that.
And she called me on the carpet and said, Your reader is fuzzy, which we'll talk about in another episode. Your authority is not clear. I don't think you know your why. You need to go back to the very beginning and do the whole thing. And I was like, what?
I hate you.
How dare you?
What? I hate you.
Right? Truly. But here's the thing. I did the work. I went back and I did that. And what I found was a little embarrassing, to be honest. Like if you really do... You know, we're talking about layers, like start with your why. Sure, you can do that. But ask yourself again. And what I got down to was with all these blueprint books, I launched this company that trains and certifies book coaches. And the tool of the blueprint is one that I teach and that I use. And therefore, people go out and teach and use the blueprint their own selves. And I saw one of our certified coaches advertising a event that they were doing where they were teaching the blueprint, and they properly acknowledge me, and you know, all that thing. There was nothing fishy about it. I was just like, oh, that's mine. I had this really weird visceral reaction, and I wanted to write a book that this was my why, to claim it. That's what I wanted. I wanted to write a book to say, this is mine and I made it, and other people use it and other people make it better by using it. That's what I believe about tools and the world and all of the things. But I wanted to put it in the pages of a book so I could hold it in my hand and say, this is mine, and you know, stake in the ground. And it's a little embarrassing. There's like some jealousy in there. There's some ego in there. You know, my why was not about you, dear reader. You know, it was about me and my really personal thing. I wanted to take that space and claim that space. But by knowing that, by going back and doing that work, when I went back to the pages of the book, I was able to write with much stronger passion and authority and clarity, because it was like, okay, if my why is to say that this is mine, I gotta bring it, right? I've gotta own it. My voice was a little wishy-washy. It was a little this, you know, equivocating. And so the getting to my why allowed me to really very quickly actually take that draft and own it.
And I just, it's so, you know, we've talked about why in such a huge range of stories. And that is why I wanted to do a whole episode on this question, because I think it's very easy to see that Chanel Miller would have a why for Know My Name, but a lot of people wouldn't believe in a why for a book about houseplants, or, you know, a book that describes a process that you teach, or, you know, a mystery with witches in a bakery. But there are whys for all of those things. And when you, sometimes you'll hit a book and you'll read it, and often the reason you put it down you don't even realize it. You're like, I just don't care. For me, frequently, especially in reading fiction, I'll be like, yeah, I just don't care anymore. And sometimes that's because you don't care about the why. That happened to me fairly recently. And it was a well-done book. The particular why of that book just wasn't for me. But sometimes it's because there is no why, right? Somebody has just been like, okay, people like, romances set in space with vampires. So here's my romance set in space with vampires. And when we talk, you know, let's just flail off into every topic we're ever going to discuss here. But, you know, it's really, to me, why? Because I want to be a writer and share stories. That's fine. Like that is a good why. And, you know, why did you choose to write a book in this genre? Because I know I can reach readers in this genre. That's good too. I don't like the idea that you must only write. I want to separate what we're talking about, the idea of a why, with the idea that you must only write the thing that you are passionately called to write. And if you are not passionately called to write anything, you are not enough. You know, if you are not a great literary voice who must write and starve, that you don't have a why. I talk about this so much that I think I may have just, you know, sort of shortcutted the whole thing, but that really frustrates me when you're listening to a podcast and someone is like, you know, well, you know, why do you write what you write? And they're like, well, I'm forced to. And I'm like, well, you know, some of us write books about witches and bakeries because we want to write and we want to share our stories and we feel, you know, we want to talk to readers. Like, we want that conversation. So, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, even in the lightest or the simplest of genres, there's sort of the surface level why, and then there's you're going to find yourself with the deeper why. Because I want to talk to other people is part of that why, and then it's usually because I want to talk to other people about.
Totally. You know? So I sometimes talk about the, well, in the fiction blueprint, there's a tool called the inside outline. And on the why, I sometimes talk about the external why and the internal why. So the external why might be, I want to make a boatload of money. I want to leave my day job. I think writing is cool. I've always wanted to write a book. Like those external things are powerful and valid and awesome. And, or this idea has just lodged itself in my head and I'm going to do it, or what, you know, whatever the thing is. And then the internal why is that deeper layer that usually, well, like KJ, why witches?
This is funny because this is about the book that I'm currently working on. And the answer to why witches, which I have dug my way to and couldn't have given you when I, I could kind of give it to you at the beginning because I'm getting better at this. The answer to why witches is because it's about power and control.
So there you go.
So if you, I wanted to explore the idea that you have more control over, you know, if you had magic, you would feel like you had control, right? It would give you, you know, you could make people do things. You could make, you know, your coffee float across the room. But then I wanted to write about how, you know, like everything else, it doesn't give you the kind of control that you really want. You can't fix your own destiny or end death or, you know, control the people, the frustrating people around you who refuse to do what you want them to do. So, you know, that one, I actually kind of think I got to the why early. But if you'd ask me, like, and you did ask me because we worked on it, why chicken restaurants? That was way harder, right? I tried to write my way to that one, and that was ugly.
Yeah.
Well, in my current book, in the one coming out this summer, the why I started out with didn't end up probably being the why that the book evolved into. And some of that was a conversation with my editor where I was like, well, I'm really interested in exploring such and such. And she was like, yeah, I don't find that interesting. What else are you exploring in this book? And that was another interesting experience. But there were multiple whys in what I had done. And the why that we landed on ended up being way deeper than the why that I had started with. So
I love what you said about witches. I mean, that's so cool. And there's probably something in your life, like I was saying before, about some injustice or some frustration or some rage or something about power, about
sometimes, right? It's just rage that you can't control, you know, whether you have to wear a mask at the grocery store, and that
totally.
That's enough rage, people.
Totally.
I think that a lot of us have this illusion around, you know, maybe around memoir in particular, that you have to have some, you know, really big thing to write your memoir around. But I'm going to call out Mary Laura Pilpot, who we both know and love, and her current memoir, her first memoir, I Miss You When I Blink, really, it was just about, I would like you all to do exactly what I want, and you won't, darn it. And it was fantastic. And then her current memoir, which goes, it's almost like she's like, okay, why did I write that book? But really, why? And then she wrote a second book. This one is about, I want you to do exactly what I want because I want to keep you safe. And I can't. And I hate that. Which is really interesting because it's absolutely the topic of that's my why for the fictional book about witches that I'm working on right now. So, which is not about mysteries in a bakery. But anyway.
Well, you bring up a really interesting point that is important for our listeners, which is that your why doesn't have to be super unique. Your why
it probably isn't.
Right. Your why probably, and we're going to talk about this in the next episode similarly, your why is probably going to sound like a lot of other books and a lot of other people's, and that's fine. We make it unique by the everything else we bring to the work. But
well, it's more than fine, right? It's part of why it speaks to people. Other people desperately wish that they could control their loved ones and keep them safe. So your experience of dealing with that control, whether you take it out in fiction or whether you take it out in memoir or whether you write a book about houseplants, I mean, and I could think of a book about houseplants that would center on that why, that's why it resonates, because people share that why, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. What you're doing is you're starting with the thing that the reader's gonna start with. You know, I saw a book the other day. Did you see the comedy show Nanette?
No. Nanette with an N?
Yes. Now I've got to look it up because it's by Hannah Gadsby. It's called Nanette. And the only reason that I saw it, it was a Netflix show and it like broke the internet. And the only reason I saw it was because it was a live comedy performance. My children said, you must watch this comedy performance. And I was like, why? I don't watch comedy performances and, you know, what have you. But I don't want to say too much about it because there's a surprise in it that if you haven't watched it, I want you to experience. But it
link in the show notes.
Yeah. Where I am. but just the absolutely riveting and gut-wrenching and important comedy performance. Let's just leave it at that. So the other day I was doing something on the internet, as one does, you know, in all the places, and I saw a book pop up, and I'm trying right now to get the title, because it was probably 3 seconds. It was this woman, Hannah Gadsby, has written a memoir, and it had just a fantastic, here it is, 10 Steps to Nanette, a memoir situation. And I saw the cover and I saw the title and I instantly bought it. I probably bought this book in 3 seconds. And then I took it and I shared the link with my children and they purchased it. So within a span of about 3 minutes, we all bought this book. And I didn't even read what the book was about. It was just like, yes, give me the book. And so why would you do that? You know, and start
as a reader, why would a reader do that?
Reader, why would you do that? And for me, it was, Oh, I absolutely want the story behind how that show came to be and how it came to broke the internet and this just incredible act of bravery that this comedian did. And just yes, all the yes. And all I needed was the title and that conveyance of, I want that comes from that why. And I've subsequently gone back and read the about this book and what have you around this book, and it in fact is going to deliver exactly what I think it's going to deliver. But the that's the level of transaction I think that's happening. And
well, but people are listening and going, yeah, but she's a comedian who broke the internet, and I'm not a comedian that broke the internet, so you know, how can I put that kind of why into my, you know, my book? What does that have to do with me, Jenny?
It's such a good question. And I love that you keep pushing on that, because it I'm bringing up famous examples for some reason right now, but they don't, the houseplant book is a perfect example, or somebody writing, I'm working with somebody who's writing about turning 60 and how she is approaching thinking about the rest of her life. She has not broken the internet. She was not involved in a famous rape case. She's just a regular person who turned 60. Like, that's her big thing that she's writing about. And yet her book is going to be beautiful and meaningful and helpful to other people. And
so I think a great thing to do as a reader is to say, when do I one click like that? Not to use the don't one click, if you can buy your books in some other way. But anyway, unless you like to want, you know, buy the books. I don't care. Buy them wherever you buy them. So a great exercise as a reader is to go, what were the last 5 books that I bought, and why did I buy them? And you know, go into your genre if that's more specific. But you know, what about that made me go, yes, please, bam.
Yeah.
Yes, please, bam. And there's something, and you probably never, I didn't do this exercise till 40 years into my reading, well, maybe not into my reading life, but into my life. And it's super revelatory. Like, and some of it is, you know, Witch's Bakery, yeah, bam. But some of it is, you know, Control Loved Ones, bam. You know, Time, I Don't Have Enough of It, bam. Turning 60, I Don't Wanna, bam. I don't know. And actually, yes, I do wanna, because the alternative, way worse. So, but what makes you go bam? Right? And, you know, bam, maybe I saw this thing and now I want to be a part of this person's world. And that is, you know, you named a famous comedian who probably has a sort of a video and television presence, but that works. I mean, it's for a lot of people, it's Glennon Doyle, bam. Brené Brown, bam. Those aren't television personalities. You know, they've developed their brands in other ways. The bloggess, Jenny Lawson, bam. She's like, I struggle with my mental health in hysterically funny ways. Jenny Lawson is, I don't know. The bam can come in a lot of different ways, is my point.
I just spoke with Mae Respicchio, who's a middle grade writer, and her books have done very, very well. One of them was just chosen to be the one book all of Rhode Island is going to be reading this summer.
Wow.
It's called Slime Wars. And I was talking to her about how she came up with this idea, and it's a very different book from her previous books, which are all middle grade novels. And she's such a pro. She absolutely knows her why and knows the deep level reasons for writing this book, which the protagonist in the book is an entrepreneur who makes slime. And they go head to head with another kid who makes slime as well. And
oh, right? Man.
So it's about kids making things. It's about entrepreneurship. It's about middle graders striving for that kind of power. You're talking about, KJ, as adults, that we think we're going to get all that power, but in middle grade, you've never even tasted it. That power, you know. So she's working on those kind of levels. But then she said, But slime. Everybody wants slime. All the boys want slime, you know, so it's going to be slime. It's, you know, that was very intentional. And, you know, so even with a book like that, middle grade book about slime, there, she's got all the layers. And that's why this book is so resonant to so many people and why it's just doing so well. And she, you know, she often speaks to audiences. She told me sometimes of 1,000 kids, like the whole school comes, you know, to hear her, and she knows she has to hold their attention with the slime part, right? But she's also talking about much, much bigger things. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be famous. You don't have to be, have some big thing that you're writing about, you know, middle grade slime war. Like, mm-hmm. It can all be there too, you know?
Yeah. So I guess find your why is also kind of find your bam.
Totally.
You know, what makes you so maybe we should leave people on that, you know, find your why, find your bam. And now let's talk about, we've got an assignment for you. If you are playing along with the Am Writing Blueprint Challenge, this is what you want to do before the next episode. Jenny?
We want you to write one page on your why. And we want you to go deep in this one page. We want, think of the external things why you're writing, but try to get to that internal why and try to tap into something that feels a little scary or rich or alive. And if you can capture that, it's going to just be such a great help.
So if you're playing along with the challenge, you know what to do with that particular thing. And if you're just playing along with the challenge to play along with the challenge, write it. Set it aside, wait for next week. We're going to give you another challenge. And then, you know, know that that is a piece. Write that. If you want to write it, if you want to handwrite it, that's fine. But start a notebook that's for this book and know that you're going to go back to that and you're going to rewrite it and you're going to revise it. Or if you start a document and you type it, you know, keep it. You're going to go back and look at it. You're going to say, is what I'm doing in keeping with my why? Or, is this still my why? Like you're going to keep this. You're going to hang on to it. So, but hey, you can't start any sooner than now. So start now. All right. Thanks for listening or watching, everyone. This was episode 1. There are 9 more episodes to come as we get everyone through the Blueprint for a Book challenge. So next up, we're going to talk about what do we call it specifically, Jenny? Help me out.
What's your point? That's episode 2. What's your point?
Yeah. So, and what's your point, believe it or not, is a little different than what's your why. And we're going to dig more deeply into what it is you are sharing with readers. So we're excited to do that. Come back next week or come back next episode, depending on the timing of which you're listening to this. And you can find out more about Am Writing by going to amwritingpodcast.com. You can reach out and talk to us by emailing us at amwritingpodcast@substack.com. You can find out more about Author Accelerator at
authoraccelerator.com.
Imagine that. You can follow either of us on social media. I am KJDA on Instagram. That's the best place to follow me. Jenny is
Jenny Nash Book Coach on Instagram.
I think that's it. But we do wrap up every single episode with the same words. And this time you have an assignment to go forth and do. Until next week, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Kids, if you have a memoir or a novel draft that you're in the process of revising, Author Accelerator has a free treat for you. Ready, Set, Revise, a 3-hour workshop that will help you evaluate your manuscript, figure out where you are in the process, and hopefully make it all less painful. The actual workshop is on Friday, July 8th from noon to 3 p.m. Pacific time, so that's 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. During the workshop, Author Accelerator book coaches, including Jenny Nash, will explain how best to think about revision, talk about the things that writers most often get wrong, and, this is so cool, put you in a small group with a coach who coaches the kind of books you write. This is a great chance to get yourself in the right headspace to finish that book up right. So, for details and to sign up, head to authoraccelerator.com/manuscript-incubator. That's authoraccelerator.com/manuscript-incubator, and of course, the link will be in the show notes.